Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. I'll be your host by name, your seer, Israel of the Royal. We're doing a series called Revealing the Number of the Beast 666, Son of Perdition, Part 30, but we have to always make so many stops off, pit stops, because that's how Luke 12 goes. So we'll get something going on. We got the young lion ready to go, Brother Titus. And we'll see who else has it unfold itself. Maybe the better has. You never know. We'll find out. So let's find out what's going on. And the elder will be on shortly. He'll tell y'all about the broadcast. You know, about the six anointed camps, and remember, no class tomorrow, but you can catch the young lions on Pal Talk at 8 o'clock or rehearsing the righteous act. So if you can find the young lion, Brother Titus is bringing in one of the up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1, and we'll see if we get something going on until the elder come in and tell you all about the broadcast. Part 30, the Son of Addition, Part 30. Brother Titus Israel, tribe of Yahshua Judah. Yahshua be there, see right.
And Yahshua bless you there, see Israel, all seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahshua.
Hallelujah, there, Brother Titus. Sounds pretty good. It's the better half. It's closed by Brother Titus.
Well, she won't be available tonight.
Hallelujah, Yahshua.
Yeah,
all right, then we'll get something going on, Brother Titus. We'll look right down at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, case number 30. Let's see if we get something going on. What does it say we can read in Luke 12, verse 12 there, Brother Titus?
The book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you at the same hour what you ought to say."
That's right there, young lion. The righteous spirit do the teaching. You know, I want to open up in Titus 3, verse 3 there, young man. Let's find out what do Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Let's see if we get the president from Titus chapter 3, verse 3. What does it say there, Brother Titus? 3, verse 3.
The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 3 reads, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another."
Yeah, you see that? So we was one time had the devil in us, but now we can recognize when the devil's in us now. Read that again, Brother Titus. I think you're going to stumble up on something. And let's hear that again there, Brother Titus.
Book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 3 reads, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another."
Yeah, we was once by death, but then we start getting a little information in Malachi 4:4 down to verse 6. You start getting a little information now. See, we was once in bad shape, not understand it because we've learned it. It's still something we have to recognize in the pages of the book. But once upon a time, we all was like that, according to Titus 3, verse 3. But then we start analyzing this book a little bit. And what can we read in Malachi 4:4 down to verse 6?
Yes, sir. The book of Malachi, chapter 4. Verse 4 to verse 6, Malachi, the seer, chapter 4, verse 4 reads, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5 reads, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the seer, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah." Verse 6. "He should turn the mind of the fathers to the children, and the mind of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse."
Mm-hmm. And how do you get a curse? He said, "Unless I come and smite the earth with a curse." That's big talk there, Brother Titus. So in 65:17 of Isaiah, what do you mean by if we don't get that, if we don't remember, read that Malachi 4:4 again and give me that 65:17 of Isaiah. If we don't do what? Let's look at that Malachi 4:4 one more time there, Brother Titus. And then go straight on down to Isaiah 65:15 there, come on.
The book of Malachi, the seer, chapter 4, verse 4 reads, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." Go to Isaiah 65, verse 17. The book of Isaiah, the seer, chapter 65, verse 17. Isaiah, the seer, chapter 65, verse 17 reads, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind."
Well, hold on. Well, hold on there, young man. I thought we said 65. Back of chapter 3, verse 15 there, young man. So right now, we own something about, remember the law. So evidently, verse 15, what we're looking for is 65:15 there. What is it saying 65:15 of Isaiah there, young man?
The book of Isaiah is here, chapter 65, verse 15. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh shall slay you and call his servants by another name.
So now he said we're going to leave our name for a curse because we don't remember. What in Malachi 4 verse 4? He says you're going to leave your name for a curse because what happened? We forgot what Malachi said in 4 verse 4. What did he say again in 4 verse 4?
The book of Malachi, the seer, chapter 4, verse 4 reads, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments.
Oh, so that's what happened. We messed around and forgot about the law, and now he gonna. So we've been cursed with a curse because we didn't remember the law that was written in Numbers 15:15-16. We didn't remember what they said. Remember the law of Moses. What did Moses put in the law that we need to remember, Brother Titus, 15:15-16? What do we supposed to remember that we don't remember today?
The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15-16. Numbers chapter 15, verse 15 reads, war on it should be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generation. As you are, so should the stranger be before Yahweh.
Oh, okay. So we forgot the law. We don't remember the law of Moses. And he made a profound statement, young man, in the book of Isaiah. He said something that we need to take a look at. Well, not in Isaiah, but he said something in the book of Luke 24. So he said, we all remember the law. And we all forgot about the law. In the book of Luke 24, young line, we're looking at something in Luke 24 said, remember the law. And Luke 24, it also says what in verse number 44 and 45. Let's see what it says in Luke 24. 44 and 45.
The book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 44-45. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 reads, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses or in the seers. Or in the sun, concerning me. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
So we have to make them understand the scriptures. That we're talking about, Brother Titus. So now, but to understand the scriptures, Can you help me out in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38? What it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. What it say there, Brother Titus?
Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 37 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 reads, "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore, Yahweh of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest."
So, and that we praying for the simple labor, but you can't come, you know, like the God in the Christian world as you are. See, we think it's all about a ground swelling of peoples. No, that don't work right away.
Right.
The first thing got to be done first is we have to remember a few things there, Brother Titus. Let's go back to some things we got to remember first, and we got to be in position to see who also remember these things. So let's find out something on the way of finding out something. Let's go to, let's see what Paul said in 2 verse 5. And we'll read down until we get our point. Verse number 5. Let's read a little bit until we get our point. 2 Timothy 2 and pick it around that verse 5. Let's see what Paul, what he's working with.
Yes, sir. 2 Timothy. Go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully."
Stop right there. Now read that a little bit slower there for the national audience there, Brother Titus. Now you'll stumble upon something that's real nice. So now we got to find out about this order you just saying, you know, because a lot of people, they got a lukewarm imposition in this man's business. Now read that again a little bit slower there with a little more bass in your voice there, Brother Titus. Come on.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 reads, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully."
Yeah, so to master this book, the first thing you have to be what again? After mastery, you got to do it what kind of way?
All right. "Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully."
Oh, so you got to keep the law. Now read Malachi 4 verse 4 again. So now we understand if you're going to do this right here, that's why you get caught up. The only way you're going to do this, you got to keep the law. Now look what Malachi said again in 4 verse 4.
The book of Malachi chapter 4 verse 4 reads, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments."
You see that? So if you're gonna strive for mastery, you got to keep the law, but the law is remembering what Moses said. Remember what Moses said. As they talk that now Ezra was on the clock. Ezra was on the clock there, young line. exactly what he had going on for himself. So you see, so you got to always remind those that come in contact with you, if you want to do this, you have to keep the law. You can be in his book all you want them, but he don't get away from you unless you keep the law. If you don't keep the law, he don't get away from you. So now, in 14th chapter, Second Ezra, and we're going to pick up verse number 1. In the 14th chapter, verse 1. So now, let's examine what we just heard. 14, verse 1. Let's read a little bit. Second Ezra, 14, verse 1. Come on.
The book of Second Ezra, chapter 14, verse 1, reads, "And it came to pass upon the third day, I sat under an oak, and behold, there came a voice out of a bush over against me. It said, Ezra, Ezra." Verse 2. "And I said, Here am I, Yahweh. And I stood upon my feet." Verse 3. "Then said he unto me, In the book, I did manifest, reveal myself unto Moses, and talk with him when my people served in Egypt." Verse 4. "And I sent them and led my people out of Egypt and brought him up to the mount of Sinai, where I held him by me a long season." Verse 5. "And told him many wondrous things, and showed them the secrets of time and the end. It commanded him, saying," verse 6, "these words should you declare, and these should you hide."
Good. Hold that point with that. Back up, read one verse again. Read the one verse, back up, read one verse again now. But Titus.
Second Ezra, chapter 14, verse 5. "And I told them many wondrous things, and showed them the secrets of the times and the end, and commanded him, saying."
Good. So the reason why in Malachi it is said to remember the law of Moses, because Moses was shown the secrets of things, even the end of the world. So that's why it's very important, if you want to figure out where you at today and see how you applying yourself, remember the law of Moses. Because Moses was not only given the first five books, Moses wrote in code of the first five books way beyond us in code and the end. That's big talk there. Hey, Brother Titus, that's big talk right there. So we see Brother Job Israel, he's ready to come on stage. He came into the room to see when we bring him in. And help him hold some load down and keep it moving, no doubt about it. So when you meet Brother Job Israel with a loud voice, you say, "Brother Job Israel, Yahweh BJLC Russia.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal."
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right there, Brother Job Israel. Excellent. So now, but we find out, now that's big talk we done find out there, young man. We done find out, they said, remember the law of Moses. See, if we don't remember the law of Moses, then, because we found out Moses was told the end of things. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Brother Job, Israel, Moses was told something in 4:1 of Deuteronomy and 27. Hey, Brother Job, Moses was also told to put this in writing in the 4th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 1, 2, and verse 27. What did he say there, Brother Job?
Deuteronomy. Verse 2.
Chapter 4, write it down first, Brother Joe. Write it down first before you touch the Bible. 4:1-2 and 27. To have it on your paper. Then look down your paper. Then find your verse. Deuteronomy 4:1-2. Then skip down to verse 27. So you should have three verses on your paper. And you're on the clock. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and verse 27. In verse 1, it reads, "Now, therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Yahuwah of your fathers giveth you." Verse number 2. "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, which I command you." Verse 27. "And the Yahuwah shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Yahuwah shall lead you."
So look at that. So that's why we have to remember the law of Moses, because Moses wrote the end from the beginning. Moses wrote that a people called the children of Israel will be scattered to every nation upon the sun. And the reason they're going to be scattered, because they're not going to remember the law of Moses. Now, Brother Titus, in 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, 6 down to verse 9, see, we was going to do Moses, no, never mind, we're going to go into ministries based upon the fact that everything on the right side, left side of the book is gone away with. So we were told that if you get in a tight, remember the laws of Moses, then examine yourself on that according to Malachi 4:4. So if you're not going to go past Matthew, you're not going to never remember the laws of Moses. You're going to try to figure this thing out by going to the right side, and he's telling you through the left side. Then in 2 Ezra 14, the reason why you remember the laws of Moses, because Moses was told the end of time, the returning. Ezra was told, Moses wrote everything down, and Moses knew the end time. So, but if we don't remember what Moses wrote, then we're going to be fumbling around like we are today. And that's why we have already forgot. And when young lion read 65:15 of Isaiah, he said, "You was going to leave your name for a curse." Guess what? You have did that. Now you identify as Willie Earl Jones, Betty Anderson, and all that right there. You don't have the blessing at the end of your name because you left your name for a curse. But if you remember the laws of Moses and the seers, you'll know the blessing is having at the end of your name Israel. See? But if you don't remember the laws and the seers, then you're going to think you can come up another way and be successful and still make it to the kingdom. Now, it don't work like that. That's why it's so important to remember. To if you remember the laws of Moses, when we read what the young lion getting ready to read, backed up with Brother Joe and Psalm 10 down to verse 23, you'll be all right. So listen real good what the young lion getting ready to read. Come on, young lion, what you got?
Second Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 9. Second Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 6 reads, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath or ancient feasts. Read that. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts or to proclaim himself at all to be Judah. Verse 7. And in the day of the king's birth, every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifice when the feast of Bacchus was kept. Judah were compelled to go in possession to Bacchus carrying ivy. Verse
hold
8.
That point. Hold that point. Now, carrying ivy means they was carrying herbs. They were bringing green herbs with them. They had that part like green herbs, that's ivory that they were bringing. Make them know that, young line of Titus. That's green herbs they had. They had their herbs with them. So sometimes they have just enough to thinking they own something, but you gotta have more than the herbs.
That's right.
Because hold that point. Give me the wisdom of Solomon for what I need that young line of. 12:16 or 14:16. What do I need by them carrying that green herbs? But what do it say that we can read? I can't find that old piece of red book. But you know what I need there, Brother Titus?
Yes, sir.
About them carrying. Yes, sir. Bring it out. See, that's what it's all about right there. Bring it out.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse 12. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse 12, read. Well, it was neither green herb, nor a modifying plaster that restored them to health. But your word, O Yahuwah, which healeth all things.
You see that? You see that? You see, it wasn't the herb. See, we can tell you right now how to help yourself and restore your body across the scriptures. But understand something. It's not the herbs that restore your body. What really returns your body back in the law? Almost. That was really, we can tell you all about how to eat properly, eating your mind properly, but it's not going to work for you unless you keep the law. That's why when the young lion read in Malachi 4 verse 4, it said, remember the law of Moses. Moses called it in from the beginning. We can tell you how to help yourself, but it first starts when you keep the law.
Hallelujah.
Because the law has to be in front of you. It's the word that heals you. Not then once you start taking your herbs according to the Bible, then you be rejuvenated. I don't care what Doc Cook says. But Doc Cook said, well, you ain't got but so many months for you to be, okay, but what did Yahuwah say? He said, I got my Yahuwah right. And he going to tell you exactly what kind of intake you got to do first is the law. Now, if you're doing the law Then look at the precept there. Give me 2:10. Sirach there, Brother Titus. Give me 2:10 of Sirach. So we become humble, and you got to understand something. You can eat all the green foods you want. You can eat all the corn, which is a blood purifier for your body. You can eat all the fish you want. But if your mind is wicked as hate, you're still doing Sunday. Lord God and Jesus, still don't have no friend zone. Then you want to know what happened. You don't make the separation. Yahweh is not going to. The word what gets you straight. Then when you start eating the proper food according to the Bible, you start sprouting up. But you can't go order, I want a shot of water, but hold the wet. No, it don't work like that. You got to come with the water.
Yeah,
Sirach, 2:10, what it say that young lion?
The book of Sirach, chapter 2. Verse 10 reads, look at the generations of old and see, did ever any trust in Yahweh and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise that called upon him?
You see that? He said, first the record. If nowhere in the record you got him right, he didn't have you right. See, there go your game changer right there. Whatever it is, Yahweh can take it away from you when you got him right. Then once you start eating properly, stop eating Sunday and whole and skinny jeans and days of dudes, then you start seeing the effect of Yahweh working with you. See, you know, it tells you plain in 6:24 and 33 of Brother Titus of Matthew. See, this is what he says in 6:24 and 33. Then we'll get back to what we are. So understand one thing.
Yes, sir.
The word of Yahweh is what heals us. But we got to apply it the way he tell you to apply it. That's why in the opening part of the lesson was Malachi 4:4. Remember the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you remember the law of Moses, and then Isaiah 65:15 says, by the seer, you're going to leave your name for a curse. You're going to try to make it in the kingdom by carrying your slave master's last name. Listen, the blessing is in the name of Israel at the end of your name according to the Bible. You have to remember the law of Moses and put that slave name down. If you got to still use the cash and checks, fine. On your job, fine. But when you introduce yourself, put that slave name down.
Hallelujah.
Because then you bring your father in with you. Because you remember, we're going to read that regardless, you can go to City Hall anywhere and change your name. Yahweh ain't going to honor that no way. He's going to honor this Bible. He's going to honor the Bible. And Brother Job going to read exactly what he got written in a few more minutes in Psalm 50:16-23. But right now, we on something right now. What you reading there, Brother Titus? Come on.
Matthew 6:24-33. Matthew 6:24 reads, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve Yahweh and the world. Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
You see the man saying? You see the man saying? Now, this is the same one we're talking to Moses. He said, first thing you do is make sure you got your Yahuwah right. And all them things that you striving for, he'll give it to you. And that's why we read in that Timothy book, that was a big verse that young lion read earlier. You got to lawfully, that means you got to apply the law in your walk, in your talk, to receive the crown, and the crown with the precept is in Revelation 3:11. We're not going to read. So we come humble to show you. We got to remember the law of Moses. Moses said a whole lot of things. Moses called an end from the beginning. Moses' writing is not done away with, Mr. Preacher. Good. Now, you read in that second Maccabees, kind of come back and hit me out again. Give me that. And they were talking about something there. Brother Titus, check the Maccabees 6:6 down to verse 9. Can you help those see out, refresh those see of thoughts that's in 2 Maccabees 6:6 down to verse 9? What it say?
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 9. 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 6 reads, neither was it lawful for the man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts, or to profess himself at all to be Judah. Verse 7. In the day of the king's birth, every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifice. And when the feast of Bacchus was kept, Judah were compelled to go in possession to Bacchus, carrying ivory. Verse 8. Moreover, they went out of decree to the neighbor cities of the nations of Esau and his five sons by suggestion of Ptolemy against Judah, Israel, that they should observe the same fashion and be partakers of their sacrifices. Verse 9, and whoso would not conform themselves to the matter of the nations of Esau and his five sons should be put to death, then might a man have seen the present misery.
Yeah. So you see, he said, if you don't conform to the sins of Esau that's in power today, put down the law of Moses. Put it down. Mm-hmm. It was to put you to death. In the law of Moses, it was telling you about how to conduct yourself with the other nation. The law of Moses tell you how you dress. The law of Moses tell you about how to put at the end of your name Israel. All this stuff was told in the law of Moses and the seer. They say Esau and his five sons was translated today as the white man and the white woman, said, no, if we kept you doing the law of Moses, it is to put you to death. So the reason why our forefathers and mothers started doing things because the death sentence was over their head.
Mm-hmm.
But it passed on to our loved ones even today. We don't even know clearly why we keeping Sunday in the Lord God and Jesus. Here's all the reason why. Because they want to keep you alive to a time appointed to a deliverer come, but we now enjoy breaking the law of Moses now. See? So now we've been beat down so bad, now we enjoy breaking the law of Moses. And that's why The last night lesson was showing you about a God complex. We can show you the truth in the Bible. But you've been indoctrinated so heavy that you will ignore what the Bible says you do, and you'll do what your pastor and your mama and your brother and Uncle Leroy tell you to do, and you ignore all this Bible. Then you turn right around, and I said, go get your big belly for a hog. See? So you do everything contrary to the Bible. So you know what will happen now? Let's go to Isaiah 1, verse 2. See, Isaiah was told to write some things. And let's see what Isaiah wrote, Brother Titus. Isaiah chapter 1, figure verse 2, and we'll take it on down to verse 9. This is real good, what Isaiah wrote. Now, Brother Joe, we know you're holding, and I know you got your five marker to the side, but have me Isaiah 5, 13 and 14. Have that waiting on me. Write it down, Isaiah 5, 13 and 14, after we come out of this. Let's see what we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, 9, and verse 9. Come on there, young lion.
The book of Isaiah, the seer, chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 9. Isaiah the seer, chapter 1, verse 2 reads, "Hear, all heaven, and give ear, all earth, for Yahweh have spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Verse 3. "The ox knoweth its owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel do not know. My people do not consider." Verse 4. "All sinful nations, the people laden with sin, a speed of evildoers, children, they are corrupters. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the righteous one of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backwards." Verse 5. "Why should we be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more when the whole head is sick and the whole mind is faint." Verse 6. "For the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, but putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither modified with ornaments." Verse 7. "Russia, your land is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land strangers devour in it your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Verse 8. "The daughter of Judah is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." Verse 9. "Except Yahweh of hosts have left unto us a very small remnant, we shall have been as Sodom, and we shall have been like unto Gomorrah."
Yeah. So he left a small remnant. So if only he left a small remnant. That's all he left. He said, and now if he would have left this small remnant, we'll be as Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was taken down so hard by Yahweh, they still can't figure out where was any of their ruins at, because Yahweh plucked them up by the roots. That's how he moved on Sodom and Gomorrah, descendants of Ham. He moved on them, if it's called African people today, he moved on them real heavy. And he plucked them up by the roots, still can't find exactly the geographic location of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're guessing at it. But Yahweh done a marvelous thing to Sodom and Gomorrah. But he said he left a remnant. Brother Joe, what you working with that, Brother Joe? Come on in at Isaiah 5:13-14. Let's find out. Let's see if we get a little bit more on that, Brother Joe. Come on.
Isaiah 5:13-14. Isaiah 5:13-14. And it reads, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it.
Now, the one that rejoiceth, he said, my people are going to win into captivity because they have no knowledge. And captivity, well, you know it or not, he called it hell. What you in now is hell. Because you are lost all knowledge of self. Mm-hmm. And you trying to figure out how to make it in hell. Hell is a state of condition in the mind we're in right now. And we trying to make it out of hell in the mind. But these people are wearing the captivity. The hell we come out is where we at right now. We were picked to be the Yahwahs of the world and to lead those that had the understanding back to him. But we backed away from all of the laws of Moses. See that? So by us not remembering the laws of Moses, hell had enlarged himself. But he said that young lion read a remnant will be on the table. Now, Brother Job, give me that 37th chapter of Isaiah. I need a precept on that one. A remnant will be to direct you back. A remnant. And we're going to find out who that remnant is in mind in the Bible that is to direct you back to him. We're going to find out who the remnant is by Brother Job in 37 of the book of Isaiah, verse 31 and 32. Hey, Brother Job, Israel, what do Isaiah 37, verse 31 and 32 say? What does it say? Take a deep breath and do your part and come out.
Isaiah, verse 37.
31 and 32.
31 and 32, and it reads, verse 37, verse 31 and 32. The scripture reads, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. 32. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Yahuwah of hosts shall do this.
Now, look what we'll find out by remember what the law of Moses saying to Seer, he's going to release a remnant. And the remnant is going to be the ones and the remnant will be led by Judah.
Hallelujah.
Judah is going to be the remnant, according to prophecy, that leads you back to the understanding of the Bible and the laws of Moses. It will be Judah. So now, they go to game changer right there. It will not be the Pope. It will not be the Cardinals. It will not be the, it will be according to what Brother Job Israel read. Your only way back is through the prophecy and who got to lead you back. One more time, Brother Job Israel. Read that real plain with a little more bass in your voice. Exactly how to get back in the proper grace or the mercy of Yahweh. What got to happen out of the mouth of Isaiah in 37, verse 31 and 32. One more time that, Brother Job Israel, come on.
Isaiah, verse 30, chapter 37, verse 31 and 32. And it reads, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Verse 32. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Yahuwah of hosts shall do this.
Mm-hmm. So now we clear that Zion and Jerusalem means Judah, the bloodline of Judah. That's the one that if you're going to get back on the right track, you're going to have to make sure the ministry that you sit up under will come out of the bloodline of Judah, not the bloodline of Esau and his five sons, the Roman Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, and the WCC. Esau cannot get you back to where you got to get to. So now, you know what a God complex is? A God complex will tell you soundly to ignore what you're looking right in the Bible. Oh, no, I don't see that. And continue to go down. That's called a God complex. See?
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at one of my old notes. And if something happened with Pope Pius the sixth, something happened in his days, and he had a nephew. His name was Charles Borromeo. He was a nephew to Pope Pius the sixth. Do you know what he did? Did you know what his nephew came up with in 1576? It's something his nephew came up with in 1576. Now, I'm a seek in the young line. I don't want to tell it. I just want to act like it's a surprise to me. Can you tell me? He was a cardinal. He was a cardinal. And something he did in 1576 is something that he did. And the Pope at that time was Pope Pius VI of 1576. Young line, can you help me out? What did he do? Take that old one-eyed phone, and I don't want to, you know, I know what he did, but I just want to act like I'm surprised. What did he invent in 1576? His name is Cardinal Charles Borromeo. What did he invent in Pope Pius days in 1576? What did he do there, Brother Titus? You got anything to work with, Brother Titus? Something he did.
What did Colonel Pope Charles? Hold on.
Colonel Charles Borromeo in 1576. What did he do? What did the Colonel Charles Borromeo? What did he do in 1576? What did he invent?
Okay, I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, what did he invent in 1576?
Okay.
I want to know what did he invent in 1576?
Okay.
That's what I want to know. What did he invent that he brought it to Pope Pius VI in 15? He brought an idea to Pope Pius VI in 1576. He brought something to the table and said, "Hey, Uncle, I invented something, Uncle." And the Carter said, "What did you invent, my son?" And something he invented in 1576.
Okay.
And it goes on to the day. Could anybody get those stay out with that? Oh, we can table to Wednesday. We'll table to Wednesday what he invented in 1576. We leave this aside. Because look, Dick Dickinson already pulled it up. What he invented. Look at the WCC said. My, I didn't know that. Yeah, well, since we got all across the stream what he invented, we might as well go and take it. He the one invented the confession booth. You know that confession booth? That you go in, you tell the priest all what you have did. I have sinned and all that. This is the guy invented that in 1576. Brought to the Pope. So that confession booth that you go to, And you go and put all your hard-earned money into it.
Yeah.
This was invented in 1576. He brought that to Pope Pius VI and said, "Look here, Uncle, I got a way you can make a whole lot of money with that, son." He said, "Why don't you have them to confess their sins and drop a couple of dollars down?" That's it. That came to place in 1576. That's when that came into play, 1576. So when you're doing a confession booth, you're doing it from the mind of the sinners of Esau that invented that in 1576. Great fundraiser. Oh, Pope Pius VI, he loved that. And from that to this day, now you got people telling you, you got to go make a confession. Oh, where'd that come from? That come from this guy right here. He the one invented this in 1576. And you got people tell you, you got a little one coming in your family tell you. You better go make a confession. You better go put your money in that confession booth. Where did confession booth come from? Did it come from heaven? Or did it come from hell? Here. It come from Charles, Borromeo, in 1576. That's who invented that. So when you make your next confession, you might well give praise to this dead cardinal and hope Pius VI that enjoyed that evil to this day. So keep that in your mind where it comes from. Do your homework. And that's what we do. We do our homework on everything.
Mm-hmm.
We know who we'll be talking about. And we know who mouth supposed to be shut. Who mouth must be shut. Matter of fact, let's read a precept on that. Let's show you that their mouth must be shut. You're the one to tell you got to make a confession. You better go get your money and pay a cardinal. The man you can't see in that booth that's taping you inside the little office room and you don't know he's taping you. And, oh, no. Just confess between me and the man on the other side. No, he ain't. That man got a big old tape box there. He's taping everything you saying, but he might have to use it against you one day. If you don't drop that money down the way you say you're going to drop that money down, it'll bring your conversation back up on. See, that's why it tells you, remember the law of Moses. If you remember the law of Moses and the seers, then soon they put the organization together. You knew it's from Satan the devil. It ain't got nothing to do with the Bible, because our only way back was according to but Job Israel. Read that again. What is our only way back according to the Bible? Our only way back to him. Read the verse again, Brother Job.
All right, I'm right here. Isaiah.
You wrote you got it in writing. Isaiah 37, 31 to 32. We know you got it in right. So now bring them verses out again, because you got it on your paper. You got Isaiah 37, 31 and 32. Bring it out again. Come on.
Isaiah 37, verse 31 to 32. And it reads, Isaiah 37, 31, 32. And it reads like this, 37, verse 31 and 32. I have my finger on that. I got it again. Okay. 37, 31, and 32. And it reads, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Verse 32. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of Yahuwah of hosts, shall do this.
So all the way back is through Judah. So now, Job Israel. So what do that make Judah in Isaiah 30, verse number 19 down to verse 21? So what do that make Judah that we can read? So what do that make Judah that we can read? We go on to Isaiah 30. Verse 19 out of verse 21. And Brother Titus, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7, waiting on it.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Brother Job.
Isaiah
30. Write it down first. 30, verse 19 out of verse 21. Look back at your paper and take off.
Isaiah 30. 19 down to 21.
Oh, Yahuwah.
Isaiah 30, verse 19 down to 21. And it reads, Isaiah 30, verse number 19 to 21. Okay. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Verse 20. And though the Yahuwah give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left.
Mm-hmm. So what is the teacher going to be saying? Remember the laws of Moses. So
remember
that's what the teacher's going to be telling you. Remember the laws of Moses. So now in the early part of the lesson, your teacher, so if anybody stand before you, it's supposed to be from the tribe of bloodline Judah, and he's supposed to be telling you to remember the laws of Moses and the seer. Because his reward coming if you remember, if you understand this thing. Now watch what the young lion brother Brother Titus gonna bring out. His reward for this. If you know who you are, but you left your name for a curse, and you up on a Christian and the head of the Christian churches, the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, and in front of the Pope and behind the Pope is Satan the devil. Moses never told you about no Pope. He told you what he tell you. Remember the laws of Moses. See, if you remember the laws of Moses, a lot of things that have befallen you would not have happened. But now once you repent and move forward, then Yahweh clean you up. Now, what is the reward that Judah got coming? Let's find out. Now, if Judah applies this, take his rightful position, what do you got coming in 12, verse 7 of Zechariah?
The book of Zechariah, the seer, chapter 12, verse 7 reads, Yahweh shall say, the tent of Judah first, the glory of the family of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Israel do not magnify themselves against Judah.
So the order of things, Brother Titus, when Yahweh bust them clouds and come down, according to 12:7, who is he going to save first? According to 12, verse 7.
Judah first.
Judah first. Not the Pope. Not the Christian. Judah will be saved first. Now, Paul pulled that verse in the 13th chapter. Now, Paul pulled that. Now, Yahweh the Son is back in heaven. Paul pulled that verse. Let's see what he said about Titus in the 13th chapter. Let's see what he said and where he said it at. We go on to 13, verse 44. So 13, 44, the book of Acts. Now, Paul was invited to that great big temple where all the Israelites, southern and northern kingdom met. So Paul was given a microphone. And let's see who showed up in the 13th chapter, verse 44 of Acts. And what was the message and what was going on there? Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 44 reads, Acts chapter 13, verse 44 reads, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
All right, verse 45, but when Judah saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Yahweh should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, return to the Gentiles.
Huh? But he'll tell you, they'll stop at there. But he challenged the Gentile for what reason? In verse 47.
Verse 47. Also, as Yahweh commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles.
Go ahead.
That you should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
And what happened when Noah the kingdom heard that and 48? When they heard them good words from Paul and Barnabas, let's see how did they respond to that in verse 48.
Verse 48. And when the Gentiles and all the tribes heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of Yahweh, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe.
You see that? They got to have it. Because now they're going to finally get them some word. Now the northern kingdom going to finally get some word after Peter had opened the door and his last night left. So Peter opened the door. They finally going to get some word. So do you understand how you get word? He said it was necessary the word was be taught to you first. See, Judah is the lead tribe. The word come from Judah. But Paul had a different mission. He had to find northern kingdom to get them on their feet. But Judah leads, not the Pope, not the Christian, not the Muslim, not Judaism. Judah leads, according to the Bible. If you're going to get salvation, you got to first remember the law of Moses. Now, you tell me, what organization teach you that? What Christian church teach you that's headed by the Pope? All Christian churches, at the top of them is the Pope. What Christian church ever told you if you got to remember the laws of Moses? What's their name? What's the pastor name that told you that? What cardinal told you that? What is their name? Flash it across the network, both see or see it. Remember the law of Moses and Malachi 4:4. What is the name of any Christian pastor, Judaism pastor, or Islamic pastor ever read to you Malachi 4, verse 4? Where is their ministry at? Huh? Crickets. You know why it's crickets? Because they will never tell you that. Because it exposes what they own. So we're going to stop right there. Our elder came in, so we're going to piggyback off our elder. He made it to the room, so time for the elder. Let you know we're bringing this broadcast and tell you what Yahweh put on him to tell you. Elder Mr. Till, Yahweh be at that scene right here.
And Yahweh bless you here as well. We'll see you, bro. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, the elder. Well, we off and running, but we know the order things is we'll follow the elder's lead. So whether the Almighty put on you to tell this national audience over 900,000 strong, you take your time and do your part, elder, Mr. Tears, Israel. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of over 900,000 listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And that's true because you always hear me say, a teacher can't learn from his students because he's always giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, he even gains more experience by teaching. Now, a student, on the other hand, if he pays attention, he can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning one day to teach himself. And it shows well in all the six camps that teach. Because you've heard us say, you have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're giving the knowledge to know. We have many out there that camouflage evil or confused teachings, an overly loud mouth-to-gums contest for righteous learning, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that know. And people like that are really out there. So that's why you have to be word up in the word of Yahweh. You have to remember, it's the non-righteous job to lead you astray. Like I mentioned before, a gentleman I gave the nickname of the alien man I spoke of, he tries to deceive the elder with lost and confused understanding. That's a lost cause. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching and loud mouth of gums contests for righteous learning. We welcome and thank all of you for attending the live broadcast of the Cross Ministry. That comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's Word. Learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. It's the information that you came to seek. You have to look no further now because you found it in the voices of the Fields of Lights, Tribe of God. We're open unto you for this learning from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday, we don't have a class unless we have a high day or a special event. However, we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That current time for the online class is from 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until a temple member's desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any one of your smart devices. Right on the same line, go to tribe.com. After you click on it, once again, look for tribe.com. This will lead you to a big planner where you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click break out and follow those instructions. Now, on any other device, you might see a menu, but after clicking this, you'll still see choices. You'll choose a tithe and offerings in doing so. Remember what it says to us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always have to remind everyone, when you do this, to remember that Yahweh loves the cheerful giver. Also, donations to this ministry, and it's greatly appreciated that you give according to those Bible scriptures we read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus says Yahweh alive. Also, to build in the school, which is very well needed, as you can see from the things that we have to cover. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the helpfulness we continue to speak of on this program. Also while there, check out our calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. Also, we have the live program. This is featured, is available during our live broadcast time. Now to get there, enter three words this time. Yahweh Radio Live. And after clicking it, look for Voices of the Truest Lights, Tribe of God. Just click the red live button as soon as it appears, and it will put you right into our live online broadcast. Well, we even have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh online. The first is the live conference room number, just 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international one, where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 or 9 camps of Yahweh's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, or just say a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. By calling the same number, you can also order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on the DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name or the correct address, and you will receive a prompt. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer by email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He says he's pretty busy with the WCC, a New York Station stockholder, and a cigar man, counseling many memos, and now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. If your question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear discouraging downtime. Another good note, during our normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting on console, which can be logged in by your cell phone, your tablet, or computer. Just make sure you have the Paltalk app. When you get there, we'll be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Voices of the Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. I room will hold 50 or more listening participants where Yahuwah's Word will be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer those on the table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tim's Israel, along with Sir Israel right in the shotgun. We'll be taking no comments off topic during that time, or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find it brought up as before teaching time. We will continue teaching on the count of God on you with law. But an updated note that I usually give. When we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, always be quick to hear it and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. So in saying this, we have to be careful not to make worldly statements, but statements that can be backed up with the Bible. That eliminates confusion, as we're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. So we can pass the problem back to our seer Israel. We'll say, hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, J.O., hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was excellent. And that was all about because we have to enlighten and inform the national audience. And that's why I said, those that are coming in late on the international side, remember, go back and review the tape like the elder said, about 9-something, and you'll find on the tape, you'll find out exactly where that confession book come from, the Catholic Church, that the nephew of Pope Pius VI, he invented that in 1576. And so that's where you get that confession book from. So that's not a Yahwali thing at all. That's a man's mind invented it in 1576 and brought to Pope Pius VI and told him, hey, when the people do some sinning, I'm going to make a boot and put a man on the other side of it. And they confess to him and bring you that money, Uncle Pope Pius VI. So that's when you got the confession boot. Look up on your computer that one I'll say and find out about the origin of the Roman Catholic Church confession book. When did it start? That was you to look up. Who started that? And you find out it got nothing to do with Yahuwah. It's got something to do with Satan the devil. Because Yahuwah made it plain, Elder, in 1:17-19 of Revelation. See, Yahuwah made it plain, but that's why we come humble to you all around the world. Yahuwah made it plain to John in 1:17-19. Hey, Elder Mr. Till, what did he make it plain to John in 1:17-19? Then go right over to 4 verse 1. What did he tell John 1:17-19 and 4 verse 1? Come on, Elder.
And what book is that, Revelations?
Yes, sir. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 down to verse 19. Then go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. What did the Almighty by his spirit tell John to do? And 1:17 down to verse 19 and 4:1. Come on.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. 17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And I have the keys of hell and of death. 19. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are, and these things which shall be hereafter.
Mm-hmm. So John wrote the hereafter, and John wrote nothing about it. A coming from Yahuwah of a confession book. He wrote nothing about a coming of a confession book to come when John put his pen down in 96 A.D. His story, Yahuwah's story, was told. And there's no mention about what happened in 1576 when a man named Cardinal Charles, B-O-R-R-O-M-E, and Bennett, the confession book for Pope Pius VI. And they made a lot of money then, and they're making a lot of money now. And they're going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire because it didn't come from Yahuwah. 4 verse 1, come on.
Revelation 4, verse number 1 says, after this, look, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
But Elder, if you get a minute on that one-eyed telephone, that same phone, can you look up and they got many dates, but every date is past 96 A.D. The Catholic Church, the origin of the Roman Catholic Church confession book. They got many people taking credit for it, but we don't look at the years that they all take credit for, because what happened, a whole lot of them got into taking credit for it, that confession book. But let's see. How many dates did you come up with? But let's see how many is past 96 A.D. How many years past 96 A.D. is the Catholic Church confession book, the origin of it, the history of it? Just write down a few dates there, Elder, and we'll get back with you when you get it all together. Now, young man,
yes,
let's
sir.
Let's run to 2 Ezra chapter 1. Because we is showing you soundly that it was prophesied nothing about the Pope going to do nothing but mislead you. But what was it told for you to be looking forward of in 2 Ezra 1, verse 39? Let's find out what can we read that we supposed to be in a ministry looking forward for what? 2 Ezra, that's right. I read a red book, chapter 1, and pick it up at verse number, what we want? 39. Yeah, take it on down. Take it out. You could have said more boldly. Are you on point? Because you're on point. Say it boldly, Braille.
Hallelujah, Agua. 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 39 through 40. 2 Ezra chapter 1, verse 39. Unto whom I will give for leaders Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Joel, Habakkuk, and Jonas. Verse 40, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Agabus, Zechariah, and Malachi, which is called the angel of Yahuwah.
And the angel is messenger. So all these names you see right here, these names the spirit of these men will be on earth to conceal the deal. But it's nothing in this. This is a Israelite. Everybody in here that we read in 39 to 41 are Israelites. He going to raise up the spirit of Abraham again. Not the actual man Abraham, but somebody will have a spirit of Abraham. So now we go on to Malachi chapter 4, 4 down to verse 6. It's not that this individual himself is coming, but the spirit of them will be, and they already here, it just they haven't been identified yet. And I identify them is by understanding your Bible and who put everything together. So we're going back to Malachi 4, verse 4 down to verse 6. So you got to watch everything that goes on today from yesterday of the Bible. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. 4, 4, 5 and 6. Listen to the young lion bring out, deliver the knockout blow. And Malachi 4, 4, 5, and 6. Come on there, young lion.
The book of Malachi, the seer, chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 6. Malachi, the seer, chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the seer, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah. Verse 6. He shall turn the mind of the fathers to the children, and the mind of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
With a curse. So you see, now, he's saying he's going to raise up the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Of these men. And these men's talk will about turning you back to your first father, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And remember the law of Moses. That's how they're going to talk. They're going to be talking about putting families back together, but by the law of Moses. And the seers. That's how they talk on me. So now, when Kennedy wrote this verse in 2 Timothy 2:5, Brother Titus, now we understand what he's saying now when Timothy and Titus was trained by Paul. Now we can understand what he's saying now in 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. What are you saying there? Brother Titus, what are you saying?
The letter of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5 reads, and if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully.
He said, you're not going to be crowned unless you do the law. If you strive for mastery, standing this Bible, it's not going to work for you unless you remember the law of Moses. You will not be crowned. So listen what he says. Brother Joe, Israel, and end time prophecy, if you don't get your crown, listen what he got written that we can read in end time prophecy about the crown in 3:11 of Revelation. Hey, Brother Joe, Israel, what can we read? And young lion had me 2 Ezra 14. Chapter 14, verse 20 to 24, and 37 down to verse 4 and 3. had that waiting on me, Brother Joe. Now, listen to what he says here in End Times Prophecy, Brother Joe. What he said we can read in 3 verse 11, Revelation.
Revelation, chapter 3, verse 11, and it reads, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Jesus. So don't let the Christian church, Islamic, Judaism take your crown. Now, Peter was raised and trained by the Father. What he said, Brother Joe, in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Now, Elder, once you got all down laid, give me a hallelujah, Elder. So whenever you got all that
hallelujah
you need to work with on the confession booth, where it started from, what the origin of it, the history of it, and whatever you're going to bring out, just say with a loud voice, hallelujah, why we know the get it past to turn over to our elder to tell you about. But see, Yahweh told us plainly, when John put his pen down, the story of Yahweh was told. Anything after 96 AD about new information is coming from Satan the devil. So we're going to find out what Satan did, what he do to, to these men that invented the confession book, and what reason by our elder once he say hallelujah while we keep moving. So now, 1 Peter, what it say in 5 verse 4? Brother Joe? 1 Peter 5 verse 4. What
Peter,
can we read?
5 verse 4. And it
reads,
while every man.
Not reading 1 Peter 5, 4.
What you reading? Take your time now, Brother Job, and look at 1 Peter 5, verse 4. Real carefully. Remember, you got over 900,000. Listen to you very carefully. Look at it, 5, verse 4. Take a deep breath like the elder say. Be quick here and take your time and deliver. 1 Peter 5, 4, what it say?
I'm going to look to it right now.
1 Peter 5, verse 4.
Okay. Here we go. Peter. Okay.
5, verse 4.
Kind of started speed on that. All right. I had to keep that my bearings back. I'm getting that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you find Ephesians 5:15? Young lion, pull it out. Bring it out.
1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 reads, and when the chief shepherds should appear, you should receive a crown of glory that faded not away.
Ain't that so? So yeah, that's why you want to don't look. You don't want to mess up your crown, because chief shepherd going to reward you with a crown that if you remember the law of Moses. If you remember that Moses or John wrote nothing about no confession book, he told you about the organization was coming. But he made plain about the organization, 14, 29, 30, that young lion, and St. John. But he told you up front, yeah, the Roman Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, and the WCC, World Catholic Church, they are coming. But listen what he told the one that going to carry his word about all these organizations that's outside the Bible. They are coming. But look what we can read by remembering the law of Moses, by Yahweh the Son says in 14, 29 and 30. What did he say there, young lion, brother Titus? What did he say?
The book of John, chapter 14, verse 29 and 30. John chapter 14, verse 29 reads, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Verse 30. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me."
Yeah. So the prince of this world is coming and got nothing in me. And the prince of this world went right over to the Vatican City and hijacked the Pope with ease and told him, if you want to remain everything you got, in about 1500, I'm going to have somebody out of your loins come up with a confession book. And it's going to be contrary to Yahweh, but the world going to love it because they all going to be in darkness until the Six Anointed Camp start exposing that the Roman Catholic Church confession book do not come from Yahweh. It come from Satan the devil. Right? It better bring out the confession book. Hey, Ella, you got me a year yet? I ain't heard no hallelujah Yahweh yet. What you working with over there, Ella?
I have to speak this year. Hallelujah Yahweh.
All right, hallelujah. What you got on the Roman chapter, the origin of the history of the Roman Catholic Church confession book? What you got that the world needs to hear about it? Come on.
Well, first of all, you mentioned the one-eyed Satan. Well, we have to add to that, not take away. First of all, those devices that we use is an avenue of righteous learning for the righteous user, and also can be a deceptive tool for researching for a deceptive person. And we're guaranteed that by a Bible verse in Deuteronomy 3:19. We're given a choice of good or evil. Now, the origin date of the confession book, it was a confession in its modern time, dates farther back than the 16th century. And Duquesne cities in the year 1563 for an early use of the word confessionate for the sacrament of penitence. Originally, the term was applied to a place where a metri or confessor. It's got a pretty long, lengthy explanation that goes into detail how you walk into the cabinet, you sit down, you confess your penitence to the priest, and you give him your money, your tithes or offerings, what we generally call it. And most of the time, you find out in modern day, who used to be Catholic, this is a term that was practiced basically by the Roman Catholic, most of your bandits or either Elliot Ness or Dugan Pete, they were all Catholics, so they confessed their sins and were forgiven and go back out and do it again.
Uh-huh. So do we got any timelines on the first time the Catholic Church put that in place? You got any timeline on number-wise? When they
it was implemented in 1563, but then there's another date where it was practiced by an archbishop in 1322.
Okay.
Way back then, but it was not a boot then, but it was initially practiced way back then and then considered to be official in the 16th century.
Okay. So that's three dates. So remember, so the earliest you can get it around about 1300. But like I said again, Pope Pius, Cardinal the Nephew, he came up with it and brought it to more advancement in 1576. So now you can go, Elder went back even further than that and found out that it started around the 1300s, the Catholic Church. Remember, But see, the Catholic Church was not really in power until after 1492. So that's when it came into power. So after 1492, that's when they had sole power rule over everything from 1492 to this day. So in the early 1500s, that's when you look up Pope Pius VI, around 1500s, that's when that started working its way in and making it lawful for you to come to the Catholic Church, and we got a boot waiting on you. And you confess your sin, drop that money down there, and your sin is forgiven.
Good? And there
it is.
I got to also.
Come on,
Archbishop Walter Reynolds in 1322, he said in his constitution, let the priest choose for himself a common place for hearing the confession. That was before they had the confession book, where they are generally, assigned by the church and only heard by the priest.
Okay, so what year you got that in?
That was 1322, when they didn't have a booth. They just would let the priest choose a place for confession. And that was in England.
So it started around about 13 what again, Elder?
That was 1322, when the priest used to choose himself a common place for hearing confessions.
Oh, okay. So, but that booth came in the 1500s. So that
the booth came in the 1500s, correct. That's
yeah.
It.
So that confession booth came in the 1500s. Now, where is Yahweh in that? Yahweh ain't in that, see? So those who tell you got to get a confession for your sins to be forgiven, that's blasphemy. Because that started in the 1500s. And that's the record. Now, do your research, and then next time somebody tell you about, you got to go make a confession to something that started in the 1500s. Then you tell Rover, hey Rover, growl at them so they can get their hat and coat. Or go get Lucky and get Lucky to get their hat and coat and break out running. Yeah. Chase them down the street and get a bite in with that paganism. Come out of confession book that started in 1500. Thank you, Elder. That's what our Elder is all about. See, we'll check you out. So whatever you own, we'll check you out. So if you're in any ministry and somebody bring to you about when you're going to do your confession, boom. What do you mean? That stuff that started in 1500 or 500 years after, 1500 after the Bible was closed, that's from Satan the devil, a confession book. Hey, Brother Joe, give me that Ephesians 6:15 now. Now I can use that 6:15 now, but Joe. What you got in Ephesians 6:15?
Ephesians 6:15.
Yeah, what we got?
All right. Let's see, here we go. Ephesians 6:15, and it reads. Ephesians 6:15. And he reads this. Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Give us a more. That's all the 15 to me. That's all it says. Don't say a little bit more?
Yes.
What
does
it say?
Verse 16. Above all.
Hold on. Give me 6:15 and take the time. I want to get all of 6:15 I can hear. Read that again.
Ephesians 6:15
one more time.
Ephesians 6:15, and it reads, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Uh-huh. Why? 16.
Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you be able to deal with that. Well, you know if you got the covenant of Yahweh. Now give me a precept on that. Brother Joe, give me 13 verse 20. He said, once you got the precept to understand, then you better withstand fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked. See, the wicked who want to invent that in the 1500s. That confessing booty from Satan the devil, the wicked. Satan put it in the mind of him to make a confessing booty in the 1500s and tell you now you go get your sins forgiven. You see that, though? And look at, like the elders said, Ellen Ness, all of them there. Shingon, Cali, Louis Armstrong, everybody go and get a confession in for their sins to be forgiven. Everybody, all they got to do is do what you're doing and show up to a confession booth and then hit that box real good and get your voice taped on that tape recorder. And now you can go, your sins have given my son. See that? Then you go right back out there and do the same thing again. They got more cases for doing the wrong thing with the same sex cases. But all they got to do is go to the confession booth and tell them, you know, what did you do, Cardinal? What did I do? I messed up too. You know, you got to pull up that garment you got and hit that box too. Then your sins is forgiven. Then we're going to transfer you to Acapulco, New Mexico somewhere with your lowdown self. You see that? But hit the box before you leave. You see, that ain't nothing but a bunch of wickedness. And we tied in with a bunch of wickedness. What you do? I had these three little young boys about 6 years old hold to the house. You know, you better, how much you earned last, you better put all of it in this box now. You better put all of it here. And we're going to see if we get you somewhere in Acapulco, New Mexico, and put somebody else there in your place. You see what's going on? But if you remember the laws of Moses, you'd have seen that like a big elephant coming out of your block with a bow tie on. You'd have seen that plainly. That this is from Satan the devil. But give me Hebrews 13, verse 20. What is, hey, Brother Joe, what is that in Hebrews 13, verse 20?
Okay, Hebrews 13, verse 20. Okay, here we go.
Hebrews 13, verse 20. Hey, young lion, have me on James 1, verse 12. Waiting on me. James 1, verse 12. Then 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. And we'll see what's going on after Brother Job give me that 13, verse 20. Mm-hmm. What is that 13, verse 20, Job?
Now, the Yahweh peace that brought again from the dead, our Yahweh the Son, that great shepherd of the sea, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Come back through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You don't come back through no confession book. You got to get up under everlasting covenant and remember the laws of Moses. See, he gave Moses a covenant. See, this is how you get to where you want to get to, not going to no confession booth that was created in the 1500s. Yeah. See, you got to come away from that, Father. That's 1500. This is how you get back right, by keeping the covenant with you, the law of Moses. What did his brother say? Hey, Brother Kelly, what did his brother say in 1:12? Let's talk about it a little bit.
The book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, read, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, but when he is tried, he should receive the crown of life.
There you go.
Which I have promised to them that love him.
You see that? See, you're going to be tried, but the all the way, then you're going to be tempted. But you got
right.
to get your crown of life, you got to remember the law of Moses. And the law of Moses got nothing to do with no confession book that was invented in the 1500s by the descendants of Esau. No. That is contrary to the Bible. You got to remember the law of Moses, not remember to get to a confession book that was created in the 1500s. No, that's what saved the devil. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, let's read a little bit there, Brother Titus.
2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 5. But watch you in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of the ministry, and make full proof of your ministry.
He said, do the work of evangelist. And evangelist is one that you make full proof of your ministry. That means, understand, when you're making full print or proof of your ministry, you understand that the ministry is for you remembering the laws of Moses, 4 verse 4 Malachi. So if you got a family member going to tell you about it, you better get to the confession booth, then you already know Satan jumped up in him. Huh? You know that the devil got in him. You got to recognize that. Give me a precept on that. Hey, Elder, give me a precept on that, because you got to recognize when Satan jumped in you and what kind of spirit that is. If, give me that 1 Samuel chapter 16, Elder, verse 14 and 15. Hey, Elder, Mr. Till. What do 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 and 15 say? Where yet I held? Where's I held at? What you saying, WCC? Where I held at? First, what I say again, Brother Titan?
1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 to 15.
All right, bring that out.
14, 15.
I'll be going to 1 Samuel this year, chapter 16, verse 14 to 15. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 reads, "For the spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled him." Verse 15. "And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit of Yahweh troubled you."
You see that? So that means now, see, you got to recognize that's an evil spirit from Satan troubling you, and you get troubled by an evil spirit. It'd be your mama. If your mama tell you go to a confession booth, it's not your mama talking. That's an evil spirit that's telling you to do that, to lose the covenant of Yahweh. You don't confess, go to no confession booth, and now your sins forgiven. Huh? That thing was invented in the 1500s. You got to keep the covenant. You got to remember the laws of Moses. You see the difference? The Bible says you got to remember the laws of Moses. Moses ain't told nobody about no confession book. Man can't forgive your sins. Man can't. You know what they said about it, but we'll get that a little bit later. But come on back. But let me show you how you set up things. Now let's come on back, Brother Titus. We will show you how you sit up there. Second Ezra 14, 20-24, 37-43. Brother Joe, have me Acts chapter 20, verse 4 waiting on me. Then we'll find out how you folks respond in First Ezra chapter 8, verse 3. Because something happened in First Maccabees, before you read that, something happened that they did, Brother Titus, in First Maccabees chapter 1:56. What happened that we can read? Something happened that we can read, and what was it? First Maccabees 1:56. What happened?
We go to the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 56. 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 56. 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 56. And when they had rent in pieces the books of the law, which they found, they burnt them with fire.
You see what it is? They, when Esau and his five sons got a hold to you and Judah, they had you to bring all your records of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and the law of Moses, and they burnt them. See that? To bring a plan in, they burnt up the book of the law. They burnt them up. In that section they was in, they made you bring them up. Israel is thousands of millions. So they burnt the place where Ezra was at, captured they was in, they jumped Judah and had Judah descendants to bring all the record books. And according to 156, they didn't get your record to study it. What did they get your record to do? What again, that young lion? They done what? And 151, Maccabees 156, what did they do with your records again? Come out.
First Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 56. And when they had writ in pieces the books of the law, which they found, they burnt them with fire.
You see that? Now, how can that be a Yahwali act? How can the same people that's head of the Catholic Church today, this is they descendants did, they grabbed your records and burnt them with fire. The same ones that tell you about a confession book in the 1500s. This is they forefathers. This is what they did, manipulate you, and they overcame you in that area, taking your records that you had of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and all the seers, and burnt your records up. Now, how could that be Yahwali? And that's the same people that once they find out you arrest your records, they take it. And right now in the Vatican City, down in the basement, is your record down there. But they won't let you see it because it's condemned them. They'll tell you to go to that confession booth and take care of your sins. That's what you do. And you get running over there and knowing that you low down to the core, but you think you're going to be delivered, huh, by making a confession that was embedded in the 1500s. You see that? We ain't anti-anybody. We just pro-Bible and pro-12 tribes of Israel. Our mission is to wake up Israelites. And once you understand, the records telling us that we got to go confess our sin to a confession booth, that's not of Yahweh. That is of Satan the devil. It's up to you. So now, they brought the records. Here it is now. Now, here come Ezra, years later, and what did he say in 2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 20 to 24, and 37 to 43? Then we're going to find out Paul pulled this verse, and let's see what Paul did in 20, verse 14, by Brother Joe Israel after that. Come on, Brother Titus.
We're going to the book of 2 Ezra, the seer. Chapter 14, verse 20 to 24, 37 to 43. Second Ezra, the seer, chapter 14, verse 20 reads, "Behold, Yahweh, I will go as you have commanded me, and reprove the people which are present, but they that should be born afterward, who shall admonish them? Thus the world is set in darkness. They that dwell therein are without light." verse 21. But your law is burnt. Therefore, no man knoweth the things that are done of you, or the works that shall begin. Verse 22. But if I will find mercy before you, the righteous spirit unto me, and I shall write all that have been done in the world since the beginning, which were written in your law, that man may be found, that man may find your path, and that they which shall live in the latter days may live. Verse 23, and he answered me, saying, go your way, gather the people together, and say unto them, that they seek you not for 40 days. Verse 24, but look, you prepare three many box trees, and take with you Sarah, Deborah, Simeon, Ananias, and Azael, these five which are ready to write swiftly. Verse 37 to 43. So I took five men, as he commanded me, and we went in the field and remained there. Verse 38. And the next day, behold, a voice called me, Azarus, open your mouth and drink that I give you to drink. Verse 39. Then open I my mouth, and behold, he reached me a full cup, which was full as it were with water, but the color of it was like fire. Verse 40. And I took it and drank. When I had drank of it, my mind uttered understanding and wisdom, grew in my breast, for my spirit strengthened my memory. Verse 41. And my mouth was open and shut no more. Verse 42. Yahweh the highest give understanding unto five men, and that they wrote the wonderful visions of the night that they were told, which they knew not. And they sat 40 days, and they write in the day, and in the night they ate bread. Verse 43. As for me, I spake in the day, and I beheld not my tongue by night.
So now, what is the rules? The rule, the seer got to look out and find five men, not man, men that can write swiftly and understand the law of Moses. And once these five men have been identified, then we can tell you the next step. But five men must be prepared to do it better than the seer on precepting his Bible, bring up dark sand. So he got five men, and they were prepared to get his business with Ezra. So that's the key right there. So five men or women must step up and be able to take the lessons that we talked about on the broadcast and see what's the best title for it. Be able to get CD players, or what do they call them things, put labels on them, get them out there. But you got to have a good comprehension, remembering on what was said in Take 30. Now, that's how valuable you are. If you understand, you can remember what Take 30 was about. So now, when Paul was given assignment to go look for the northern Israelites that have broke away from the covenant, let's see what Paul, he pulled it. Read verse 22 again now. Brother Titus, read verse 22. 14:22.
2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 22. But if I have found mercy before you, send the righteous spirit unto me, and I shall write all that have been done in the world since the beginning, which were written in your law, that men may find your path, and that they which live in the latter days may live.
See, men can find your path after we open our mouth and show you what part you have lost. See, now we put the team together now. And we tell you, the only way back, you got to remember the laws of Moses. And Moses told you what tribe is going to be the one that take you where you got to get to. What did Moses say in 33 verse 1 and 7? See, all we got to do is remember what Moses said, because Moses wrote the end time, and Moses wrote exactly what tribe it's going to get you back on your feet. If we remember the laws of Moses. In the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy 1 and 7, Brother Titus,
let's see
what Moses said that we can read. Come on.
The fifth book of the law, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 1 and verse 7. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Verse 1 reads, and this is the blessing wherein Moses, the man of Yahweh, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Verse 7 reads, and this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear Yahweh, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, lest his hands be sufficient for him, and be you in help to him from his enemies.
You see that? Now, see, if you remember the laws of Moses, you will be nowhere near a Christian church. You will listen to nothing that the Pope have said, or the cardinals, or the bishops, or them pastors. If you remember the laws of Moses, it says, Judah is the gold to the people. Moses said, Judah will go to the people. That's what Moses said. So if you remember the laws of Moses, no way in the world you'd be in a Catholic church or in any church. You'd be none come out your mouth about some Jehovah Witness, Jireh and Nisi. Moses never talked about that. Moses told you, remember Judah and be a help to Judah. Judah is going to the people. Is that what Moses said?
Alu
is that
Yaquah.
What we're reading now? You know what?
Hallelujah.
Paul pulled that verse in the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews. 13 and 14. See, the ministry is supposed to show you what the Bible is saying. It is nowhere in the Bible is telling you about no Pope going to do anything but trap you up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember the laws of Moses, you're caught on red-handed. There's nowhere in the world you'd be up in a Roman Catholic church. Talking about a confession booth that was invented in the 1500s. That's the earliest you can get it, in the 1500s. That's 1500 years after the Bible was closed. That can't be from Yahweh. John wrote nothing about nobody coming in Yahweh hollering about a confession booth. That's Satan and his devices. And it was plainly said by Brother Titus, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, if you remember the laws of Moses, what it said in 2 Corinthians 2:11 now, Brother Titus, what it say?
All right, we're going to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. Reads, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yeah, but we is ignorant of his devices. anytime you put any money in a confession booth, you is ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan invented the Roman Catholic confession booth in the 1500s. You ain't gonna get it no earlier than that. The nephew of Pope Pius VI brought that to the table to his uncle. And there's a record on it. He was a cardinal. He was the nephew of Pope Pius VI. He's showing the way that you can get you can grease them real good now. You see? The confession book, the Roman Catholic confession book. Have you went to the confession book? Where are you going so you can get your blessing? Blessing from who? Satan, the devil. Yes, he is in blessing. He can bless you. Satan can bless you. Look at the Roman Catholic Church out of New York City. Where can Satan bless you that we can read? Well, let's take a look at that. Let's make a little detour and take care of Timothy Dolan's committee board saying where that verse at. Brother Titus, go to Matthew chapter 4. Satan is in the blessing business too. So when you put your money in the confession booth, Satan is in the blessing business too. Satan got power to bless you. You want to know where it's at? We're going to read it. Let's pick it up at for time's sake. 4 verse 8 down to verse 9. Let's see what we can read in Matthew chapter 4. Now, tell read verse 4, just getting warmed up. Get those seal warmed up in 4 verse 4. What does it say in Matthew 4:4?
The book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 reads, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh."
That's how man live. What did Yahweh say? Now let's skip down to verse 8 and 9. Listen good now. Big Timothy Dolan's committee board out of New York. 8 and 9.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 reads, "Again, Satan, the devil, taking him up into a seely high mountain and showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the honor of them, the glory of them." Verse 9, "and said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me."
Yeah, worship me. So Satan had a blessing business too. And he gave him the Vatican City, didn't he? Then he gave you a big old city called the Vatican City. Why? Because the Pope worshipped him. He said, "I give it to you upon the one stipulation. Worship me. I'm going to put in the mind of Pope Pius' nephew to make a confession book. And what you do, you tell them, if you want your sins to be forgiven, then you go and confess to one of them cardinals or whatever it is behind that booth with that tape recorder player. And you pack that box real good and son, your sin is forgiven." That started in the 1500s. See? But that is from Satan the devil. He says, 9, "and said unto him, all these things will I give unto thee, if thou wilt fall down and what? Worship me." What they do when you see the Pope coming? Don't they fall down and worship him? Mm-hmm. They fall on his garment with no fringes on it? Sit him in there. See, we bring it to your attention. You want a precept? Oh, look at it. Give me a precept. Okay, well, give you a precept. You want a precept? We'll give you a precept. Go to Luke 4:4.
Where did
Luke 4:4 say that? The committee board of the Roman Catholic Church want a precept. Mm-hmm. Let's give them a precept. We go on to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 4, is getting warmed up in 5 through 7. And what does it say?
The book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 4. Let's skip down verse 5 through 7. Luke chapter 4, verse 4 reads, "And Yahweh the Son answered him, saying, It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh. Verse 5. And Satan the devil took it up unto a high mountain and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And Satan the devil said unto him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Verse 7. If you therefore will worship me, all should be yours."
You see that? Worship. So that means you got to ignore fairy, ignore fringes, ignore true name, ignore everything in the Bible, and then you worship and Satan. And that what we're doing now. When's your pastor ever tell you, make sure you get to one of those pastors, get ready to pay your tithes and free will offering too. Ask him, have you ever done a lesson on Malachi 4 verse 4? Remember the laws of Moses. He said, if I do a lesson on 4 verse 4, remember the law, we teach the law done away with. We teach it ain't no law. All the law you need to know is that confession book. Now get over there and hit that confession book. That's what you do. Okay. Do we excommunicate you? See, if you hit that confession book, they got a thing that they do in the Roman Catholic Church called excommunication. Excommunicate. Get out. Go on over there and like they told what did they say? Let's get a precept on that. Let's get a precept there in Amos. Let's see what they said. They said something in Amos. Young man. What did they say in Amos that we can read? They said something in Amos that we can read. Then what they gonna tell you. Amos chapter 7, 10 through 12. Let's make a little meal out of it. Amos 7, 10 through 12. What is that, young lion? What is Amos chapter 7, 10 down to verse 12? Listen good to this. What's going on? What did it say?
The book of Amos, the seer, chapter 7, verse 10 to verse 12. Amos, the seer, chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, said to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against you in the midst of the family of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Verse 11, but thus Amos said to Jeroboam, shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Verse 12. And Amos said unto Amos, O you seer, go flee you away unto the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesize there.
And I would tell the boys and those children, like, get away from around here. We know we can't do nothing with you in that book. But get away from around here. But what was Amos, according to verse 12, what was Amos again?
Amos chapter 7, verse 12. Also, Amaziah has said to Amos, O you seer.
Ain't that something? He's not the man of Yahweh. See, the seer's job is to tell you what time. It's up to you. See, the job of a seer, a man of Yahweh, is to tell you what the Bible's saying. You can be rampant and raging all over the place. But we tell you that the Catholic Church confession book on record started in the 1500s. and man cannot forgive your sins. See? Only can forgive your sins is according to the Bible, and you heard it in another lesson, but we're not going there. So now, Brother Job, not give me that. Not give me, you already got it written down, Psalm 50, verse 16 down to verse 23. Now time for it, Brother Job. Now give me my Psalm chapter 50, verse 16. We'll read a little bit. Brother Job.
Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, and you read. Sit and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver.
Hold on. What you reading? You read me Psalm 50, 16? Give me Psalm 50, 16.
Psalms 50, 15. Well, you want me to go to 16?
So make it 16.
16?
Okay, you go ahead. Go ahead. Since you're reading 15, go ahead. Okay, you might got something in 15. I don't know. Let's find what you're working with. Go ahead.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Let me get in on that. A young man, give me that 30 verse and be coming right back. Give me that Psalm 30 verse 2 behind that one. That's pretty good, Dave. So you all right. So Yahweh said call on him, not the Pope. Give me 30 verse 2. Brother Titus.
All right, Psalm 30 verse 2. We go to the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 2 reads, O Yahweh, my Yahweh, I cried unto you, and you has hurt, and you has healed me.
You see that? See, you have to cry to Yahweh for the healing. You don't go to the Pope confession book and get healed. No. You got to do Bible. See, our job is showing you what to do. Bible, you got to cry to Yahweh. And to get you healed. Go forward to Luke 8, 19 through 21. What did it say there that we can read? Luke chapter 8, 19 through 21. What are you talking about there, Brother Titus?
All right, we go to the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. We're going to the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. Verse 20. And it was told him by certain which said, your mother and your brethren stand without, desiring to see you. Verse 21. And he answered and said to them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of Yahweh and do it.
So you see, on the real side, your mother and your brothers, according to the Bible, is those that hear the word and do it. See, when you hear that the confession book, it was invented in the 1500s. And it's an invention from Satan the devil getting in the mind of the nephew of Pope Pius VI. When you hear the truth and to be where you want to be, who is your mother, who is your brother, who are your sisters, is the one that hear the word and do it. That's the same as your mother, father, brother and sisters that hear the word, then do it by making a decision according to the word. You don't make a decision because we've been taught wrong. It's now time to correct it. And that's why we got to hold that point there, brother. Now, you stay where you're at. You stay where you're at there. Brother Joe, but give me that 20 verse 4. So now this got to come, Acts 20 verse 4. So now it's time for these things to come in place now. See, Paul will look at the record. He said, now, I got to go to these people. They in bad shape. So he got the record saying that he got a Ezra set up 5 men to come civil crew, and all these 5 men had to ready to write swiftly. Sincere was pouring out them scriptures, and Yahweh had him where he took 5 men, I'm going to tell you now, to keep up with those seals. Now he's going to take 5 men and 5 women all at one time to keep up with those seals right now. So now Paul pulled that verse, and look what he did in 20 verse 4. What did he do? Hey, Brother Tyler, what did he do in 20 verse 4?
The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 4 reads, and they accompanied them into Asia, Sopater, and Berea, and of Thessalonians, and Artachus, and Sakadus, and Gadius, and Darby, and Timotheus, and of Asia, and Tychicus, and Trophimus. Verse 5. These go.
Hold on a minute, young man. So these men accompanied Paul. How many men did this accompany Paul on his mission? How many men we got here, Brother Titus? So Paul pulled the verse, and Paul had to put him a crew together because he had to get out there and deal with these northern kingdoms and those that are voted from Yahweh. So he had to put a crew together. So how many men did you put together according to 20 verse 4? How many we got here?
Let me see. We got one.
Start reading your names. Start counting your names out. I mean, we got here. But we don't want to miss the media reading about the verses. We land in some good stuff here. How many men he got to company? He said they company with him. How many men here?
Okay.
20 verse 4. Read them again and call them out by name.
Acts chapter 20 verse 4. And they accompanied him into Asia. Sopater, of Berea, and of Thessalonians, too. Artachus.
No, wait, well, hold on now. You're getting too happy there, Brother Titus. Now we battle off these men of a country. So now, by the time you get to 2, you run to this name of 2. Remember this, he says, and of Thessalonica. This man was of 2 places. But the next name is right here.
Okay.
Come on, take your time now and
Aristarchus.
Start again. Take your time.
All right. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, of Berea.
Wait, watch this. Of Berea and
of the Thessalonians.
All right. So and he of the Thessalonians. You're the same person. Go ahead.
And Artachus.
2.
And Secundus.
3.
And Gaius.
4.
Berea. And
still 4.
And Timotheus.
And who?
And Timotheus.
No. And Timothy.
Timothy. Timotheus.
Timothy was already with it. Where Timothy?
And of Asia.
And
you got Tychicus. thy charges. And Trophimus. Yeah, Trophimus.
Verse 5.
These go on before Terry for us at Troas.
No, we'll leave that for time's sake like it is. But see, you see, Paul put his crew together, and then he, you know, he's bored with them, and he got them prepared to go out there just in case 10 come over here, 20 over here. So he looked back and grabbed these men. And he put his crew together like we doing now. We look and see who gonna step up according to last night lesson in 9:16 against the evildoer. So we look for men and women that got a comprehension of understanding that the lesson is spirit-led. They can look at the lesson and see what title was that lesson, although we is revealing the number of the beast 666. But sometimes we got to make detours away. So your comprehension level got to be up to say, you know, in this lesson, we learned that the confession book, it ain't no such thing as a Yahweh confession book. That's coming from Satan the devil. Man can't forgive your sins. So that can be on the label. Because, you know, ain't nobody in the Catholic Church want to hear that. But that's just the truth. The earliest you can get the confession boot is the 1500. Confession boot where you bring your money and listen to a man behind a wall that you can't see him, but he's taping you and counting your money at the same time. But they had to bring that tape back to the Pope where he could see you ain't taking a couple of his dollars from him. So see, Pope said, look at where that tape at there. Now, how many came to your confession boot? Well, you know, it was a long line, but give me the tape. Let me see, you keep it in my money. So that was that God. Ain't nothing but a fundraiser from Satan the devil. The confession book, man can't forgive your sins. Yeah. So Paul got these men together. Then Paul worked them out. And in Ezra 8, verse 3, and what happened in Titus? Now these men, Paul got them together because Timothy and Titus was already with him. So he picked these other men up, and he sit around and bowl with them for many days. And you can read all that. So Paul put his crew together. And when he turned these men loose, they had a first Ezra 8, verse 3 on them. What's going on after I tell you? How was these men?
All right. You said first Ezra 8, verse 3. First Ezra.
Yeah. How was these men?
First Ezra chapter 8, verse 3 reads. First Ezra chapter 8, verse 3. First Ezra chapter 8, verse 3. All right. All right. First Ezra chapter 8, verse 3. Then Ezra went up from Babylon, as scribe being very ready. In the law of
Moses. What kind of ready was he?
Very ready.
Very ready. So that's what we trying to do now. We trying to get 5 men and 5 women that can comprehend what goes on 6 nights a week. Yahweh in the blessing business. You step to the plate because the lesson you learned today, it covers so many points. But you can find out the only one that is in the line to receive the blessing is Judah, not the Pope. The Pope is from Satan the devil. The Roman Catholic confession book, the earliest you can get it is in the 1500s. And man can't forgive your sins. Anyway, as a matter of fact, they say it out their own mouth. Do you know? They said out their own mouth they can't do it. Did you know that? Out of their own mouth they said we cannot do that. And but you're gonna be a God complex is when you hear the truth, but you won't believe it. Out of their own mouth, hold that point. Hold what you got there, brother. Job, you mean Matthew's 9:1-5 in the closing statement there, brother Joe. We catch you win tonight. Or oh, catch you on Pal Talk Tuesday. Hey, brother Joe, give me Matthew's chapter 9:1-5. We hold that Psalms up. We come back and get it. Let's show you that in take number 30, that man can do this. And they'll tell you out there on mouth they can't forgive no sin. 9:1-5. Come on, brother Joe, for the closing statement.
Matthew chapter 9.
Matthew chapter 9:1-5.
And it reads this. Matthew chapter 9:1-5. All right, here we go. 1-5. Matthew chapter 9:1-5. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Yahweh, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be given of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse number 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Verse 4. And Yahweh, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your minds? Verse 5. For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. Verse 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise. Take up thy bed and go unto thine house. Verse 7.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. Back up and read verse 6 again.
But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then say, He to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thee, to thine house.
So who got the power to forgive sin? The Pope or the Bible? Who the Bible say got power to forgive sins? Brother Titus, Brother Joe. Who got the power to forgive sins, according to that verse?
Son of Man hath the power on earth.
The Son of Man got that power, not the Pope. The Pope can't forgive sins. They said that's blasphemy. Their own people said the sentence of the Pope today said that's blasphemy. See, that's blasphemy when they tell you your sins is forgiven. Man can't forgive your sins. That thing was invented in the 1500s. Closing statement there, Brother Titus, Job Israel, take your time and give your closing statement. You see that? That's blasphemy. Man can't forgive your sins. Only Yahweh can do that. So all the money you're going to put in the confession booth, you go and tell them, I want my money back. Or at least, if I can't get the money back, let me at least kick you up on that garment you got rid of you behind. That's the only way. Can I do that? Come on. Give me the clothes, David L. Get your wings tonight. Hey, 6 o'clock yet, Brother Joe. Come on, clothes and statement. Come on.
I have a closing statement to show you guys something that you guys were kind of in there. And I noticed that verse, it was 7. That's the answer. It was 7. That was that answer. When we was when you were reading that, it was 7. And I don't know, I can go over that real fast and just point it out, but it was 7. But this has been a very, very, very uplifting thing to the mind. And it's showing how the deceit that they will go so far to do. This is deceitful. They never had the power to forgive you. They never had that. And more so than that, people need to be ashamed of this. Because this lesson, and we're not finished. We're not finished at all. This is about to hit. And I noticed that a lot of things that I'm reading, that I was hearing, they do something called an exorcism. That's what they do. How you go exorcise a spirit? How can you? You don't even know it's a fire. Now this is the Yahuwah's realm. This is it, the truth. It's time for the Pope and all his minions, it's time for them to bounce. All this sin that they do, they know they have done it too. They can't confess. They ain't got enough lawsuits, so I can tell you, the only thing I can say, Yahuwah be with you, Yahuwah bless you. Everybody that's on tonight, I hope you got a very valuable lesson. Remember that 1400.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah,
we catch your wins tonight, Brother Joe. But the most, remember one thing, go back over the lesson, help those that come in contact with you on the truth. That's how you can be very valuable for yourself and for those that understand something. That confession boosts from Satan the devil. You got it in writing. Learn that lesson. Help those to come in contact with you. We catch you wins tonight or on Pound Talk tomorrow at 8 o'clock. All right. Hey, Elder, Mr. Till. You got a closing statement, Elder? Well, what you saying, WCC? We're going to nuke the Elder. Okay, well, it's your radio station. You do what you want to do. Hey, Brother Titus.
Yes, sir.
Let's see if they say out their own mouth in Luke chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. And verse 20. Read verse 24 first. Luke 5, 24. Listen to this verse. Listen to this 5, 24.
Okay, we're going to the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 24. Luke chapter 5, verse 24. About that, you may know that the Son of Man had power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the sorcery, I say you, arise, take up your couch, and go into your house.
You see that? So now the Son ain't gave his power to no poke. Now read verse 20 and 21. Now listen to this now. See this? Look up the definition of a God complex. If you can show them what the Bible's saying, and they still ain't going to do right, that's called a dogmatic. We talked about it in last night. Listen, put both the lessons together, you understand something.
Yahuwah
is telling you exactly, and look what the Pope said these early, this is the Pope said right in verse 20 and 21. And to close the statement there, Brother Titus, let's use the Pope said in verse 20 and 21, representing the Pharisees. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20 reads, and when he saw their faith, belief, he said unto him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but Yahweh alone?
Hey, that's something. You hear what they're saying? The Pope is telling you that ain't none of the fundraising from Satan, the devil, they're doing with you today. The only one can forgive sin is Yahweh alone. I mean, listen. You don't want to believe the Bible? I don't care if your brother, your mama, your daddy tell you make a confession booth. Here's the Pope talking right here. The only one can forgive sin is Yahweh alone. You gonna pray no never, man? Yes. You still gonna eat hog. You still gonna keep Sunday. You still gonna call on Jehovah Jireh and Nisi. And the Pope is telling you themselves. Who can forgive sin but Yahweh alone? But then you know what you're going to say? That don't mean what it means. The Pope confession book forgives sin. Ain't nothing we can do for you. Ain't nothing you can do for you. Huh? Y'all lying? It's all on you. Catch you tomorrow on that broadcast of Power Talk at 8 o'clock. You got a lot to bring on the table there, young man. The closing statement is all yours. Come on.
All right. We're going to the book of Sirach, chapter 45, verse 17. He gave unto him his commandments and authority unto the statutes and the statutes of judgment that he should teach Israel the covenant and inform Israel by his laws. Verse 23. The third in glory is Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, because he had zeal in the fear of Yahweh and stood up with good courage of mind. And when the people were turned back, he made reconciliation for Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, call your verse out again there, young line. WCC said call that verse out again. That's pretty big there. Call it out again.
That was Sirach chapter 45, verse 17 to 23.
17 now to verse 23. All right. Y'all hear that, WCC? Listen, we come humble. But only one forgives sin. Here's the Pope. Remember, the Pope came after the Pharisees. Here's the Pharisees and the Pope is interchangeable. They said, this man is talking blasphemy. Who can forgive sin, but Yahweh alone. So you see, if they telling you they can't do that, only Yahweh can do it, and you got your brother and your uncle and Aunt Willie Mae telling you go make a confession, that is a recipe for to be thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. If they don't repent after hearing this